നമസ്കാരം, ഞാൻ സിന്ധു പുന്നൂസ്. നമ്മുടെ മലയാളം എഫ് എമ്മിന്റെ അറിഞ്ഞതും അറിയാത്തതുമെന്ന അഭിമുഖ പരമ്പരയുടെ അടുത്തൊരു അധ്യായത്തിലേക്ക് എല്ലാവർക്കും സ്വാഗതം. ഈ പരിപാടികളുടെ പ്രായോജകർ ഹോംലാൻഡ്, ഇന്ത്യൻ മാർട്ട്, മൗണ്ട് വില്ലിംഗ്ടൺ, കൃപ ഫൈനാൻഷ്യൽ സൊല്യൂഷൻസ്, വി ബിൽഡേഴ്സ്, വിശ്വാസ് ഫുഡ്സ്.
ഹോംലാൻഡ് ഇന്ത്യൻ മാർട്ട് തനതായ സൗത്ത് ഇന്ത്യൻ ഉൽപ്പന്നങ്ങളുടെ പറുദീസ. ആഘോഷങ്ങൾ എന്തുമാകട്ടെ, വിഭവങ്ങൾ ഹോംലാൻഡ് ഇന്ത്യൻ മാർട്ടിൽ നിന്നും തിരഞ്ഞെടുക്കാം. പുതിയ സ്റ്റോക്ക് എത്തിയിരിക്കുന്നു. ഹോംലാൻഡ് ഇന്ത്യൻ മാർട്ട്, 295 പെൻറോസ് റോഡ്, മൗണ്ട് വില്ലിംഗ്ടൺ.
വിശ്വാസ് ഫുഡ്സ്, നിങ്ങൾ ന്യൂസിലൻഡിൽ എവിടെയാണെങ്കിലും നിങ്ങളുടെ തൊട്ടടുത്ത ഗ്രോസറി കടയിൽ നമ്മുടെ കേരള തനിമയിൽ കോട്ടയത്ത് നിന്നുള്ള വിശ്വാസ് ഉൽപ്പന്നങ്ങൾ ലഭ്യമാണ്. വ്യത്യസ്തതകൾ ഏറെ, സ്വാദിനു മുൻപിൽ വിശ്വാസ് ഫുഡ്സ്.
വി ബിൽഡേഴ്സ്, പെർഗോള, ബ്ലൈൻഡ്സ്, ഹോം റെനോവേഷൻ, കിച്ചൺ റീമോഡലിംഗ്, ഡെക്സ് ആൻഡ് ഫെൻസിംഗ്, ഇങ്ങനെയുള്ള നമ്മുടെ ആവശ്യങ്ങൾക്ക് വിശ്വസിച്ച് ഏൽപ്പിക്കാം. വി ബിൽഡേഴ്സ് നിങ്ങളുടെ സ്വപ്നങ്ങൾ പടുത്തുയർത്തും. വി ബിൽഡേഴ്സ്.
നിങ്ങൾക്ക് അനുയോജ്യമായ ഹോം ലോൺ, ഫസ്റ്റ് ഹോം, ഇൻവെസ്റ്റ്മെന്റ്, റീഫിനാൻസ്, റീഫിക്സ്, കൺസ്ട്രക്ഷൻ ലോൺ, കൊമേഴ്ഷ്യൽ ലോൺ, കാർ ലോൺ എന്നിവയ്ക്ക് നിങ്ങളുടെ വിശ്വസ്ത സാമ്പത്തിക ഉപദേഷ്ടാക്കൾ കൃപ ഫൈനാൻഷ്യൽ സൊല്യൂഷൻസ്. 0800 574 722. വിശ്വസിക്കാം, വിദഗ്ധരെ.
നമസ്കാരം. നമ്മുടെ മലയാളം എഫ് എമ്മിന്റെ അറിഞ്ഞതും അറിയാത്തതുമെന്ന അഭിമുഖ പരമ്പരയുടെ പുതിയൊരു അധ്യായത്തിലേക്ക് എല്ലാവർക്കും സ്വാഗതം. ഇന്നത്തെ അറിഞ്ഞതും അറിയാത്തതും ഇതിൽ നമുക്ക് അതിഥിയായി കിട്ടിയിരിക്കുന്നത് ഷീല നായരാണ്. ഷീല നായരെ ഞാൻ ഇൻട്രൊഡ്യൂസ് ചെയ്യുമ്പോൾ എനിക്ക് പ്രേക്ഷകരോട് പറയാനുള്ളത്, ഡൊമസ്റ്റിക് വയലൻസ് അഥവാ ഗാർഹിക പീഡനം, ഈ ഒരു കാര്യം നമ്മളൊരു 10-20 വർഷം മുമ്പ് സംസാരിക്കാൻ തുടങ്ങുമ്പോൾ നമ്മൾ പലർക്കും തോന്നും, അയ്യോ അങ്ങനെയുണ്ടോ, അന്നല്ല മുമ്പും ഉണ്ടായിരുന്നു. പക്ഷേ ഏകദേശം 2 പതിറ്റാണ്ടുകൾക്ക് മുമ്പ് ഈ വിഷയത്തെക്കുറിച്ച് താല്പര്യം തോന്നുകയും തനിക്ക് ഈ ഒരു ഡൊമസ്റ്റിക് വയലൻസ് അനുഭവിക്കുന്ന സ്ത്രീകൾക്ക് തനിക്ക് എന്ത് ചെയ്യാൻ പറ്റും, ഏത് രീതിയിൽ സപ്പോർട്ട് ചെയ്യാം എന്ന് സ്വയം തീരുമാനിക്കുകയും ആ മേഖലയിൽ ഇവിടെ ന്യൂസിലൻഡിൽ അഗ്രഗണ്യയാകുകയും ചെയ്ത ഷീല നായരാണ് ഇന്ന് നമുക്ക് അതിഥിയായി ലഭിച്ചിരിക്കുന്നത്. നമുക്ക് സ്വാഗതം ചെയ്യാം. ഷീല, സ്വാഗതം.
നമസ്കാരം. താങ്ക് യു സിന്ധു.
ഷീല, ഞാൻ ഇൻട്രൊഡക്ഷനിൽ പറഞ്ഞ പോലെ തന്നെ വർഷങ്ങൾക്ക് മുമ്പ് നമ്മൾ ഡൊമസ്റ്റിക് വയലൻസിനെ കുറിച്ചൊക്കെ അധികം കേട്ടുകേൾവി ഉണ്ടായിരുന്നില്ല. ആ സമയത്ത് ഷീല എങ്ങനെയാണ് ഈ ഒരു ടോപ്പിക്കിലേക്ക് ഇൻസ്പയർഡ് ആയത് അല്ലെങ്കിൽ അട്രാക്റ്റഡ് ആയത്?
സോ മൈ ജേർണി ഇൻ ദിസ് ഏരിയ ഓഫ് വർക്ക് സ്റ്റാർട്ടഡ് വേ ബാക്ക് ഇൻ 2002. I was a former journalist from India, which was almost 15 years of my career, having migrated to New Zealand with my then husband at that time. I did some journalism work, and it was only about a year or so later that I really got to know about Shakti.
And Shakti oru sanghadaneyano?
Yes, Shakti is an agency that specializes in domestic violence intervention and prevention work. And I quite met them by chance, actually, at one of the workshops on CV formatting. You know, when we are new migrants, we are asked to go for various workshops, you know, towards integration in New Zealand. So me and my husband at that time, we went to one of these workshops. And one of the presenters there who was from Shakti, he was a male social worker at that time. I think he kind of recognized me from my columns in in Bombay, and he came up after the workshop and said, I think I know you. And I thought, okay.
Small world.
Yeah. And then he told me a lot about Shakti, and he said, it's not just this work. They do a lot of critical work for women and children. And someone like you could be very useful in that area of work. So that's how I first got introduced to Shakti. And I told him that, you know, I think because it's a charitable organization, I don't want to get paid, but whatever I can, I'll do voluntarily. I'll find another job, probably in journalism, and I'll do a newsletter for Shakti. How about that? And he said, yeah, that's a good start. So that's how my journey with Shakti started. So, and he kind of persisted. He kept saying that, you know, someone with your skills and abilities would be very useful to Shakti. So why don't you apply for a job? They have a lot of vacancies. And I quite still resisted because, you know, in our minds, we think charitable entities, NGOs or something that we work as volunteers in. They are not, we don't expect to be paid. In an NGO. So for me, it was a totally new concept. And then he told me that the NGO sector is a very strong sector in New Zealand. It's very well supported by government and it's a paid sector. They're very strong entities here. So there were vacancies and he told me, look, I want you to send your CV. So I sent my CV and, you know, I got hired right away in the women's area to do some management and development work. So I started managing our 24/7 crisis line at that time. And we had one safe house. So I know the concept is not very familiar in India. But this is called Women's Refuge or a safe house. So what happens for these houses are for women and children who are facing abuse in their family life and want to leave the situation and feel safe. And be able to rest and heal and then decide what they want to do with the relationship, you know. So we had one such safe house there. So they're very confidential houses. It's only known to emergency services and Shakti. So so that's where they can hide. It's more like they can hide away from everyone else and, you know, recuperate from their abusive experiences. So, and I worked closely, that's when I met the founder as well, whose name is Farida Sultana. She's a lady from Bangladesh. And she and the group of women had set up Shakti in 1995. Obviously, I think the initial group of women thought I could be very useful in terms of advocacy, lobbying, you know, developing funding applications.
Because of your journalism background.
Yeah, and networking and being able to raise the, you know, the financial capability and engage in organizational development. So I worked with Farida quite closely to set up another safe house in Auckland. So we have two safe houses and we have one safe house each in Wellington, Tauranga, Christchurch, and we have drop-in centers in all these regions, and also Dunedin. So we've got five safe houses
across New Zealand.
11 centers. So it's grown quite big. Became a national organization in about 2003. Between 2003 and 2005, we became a national entity.
Sheila, is this specifically for Indian women, or how does this ethnicity-wise? How does this work?
Yeah. So when Shakti was set up in 1995, it was responding to a gap in the sector. So while there were women's organizations that worked with, you know, the Pākehā, the European women, Maori women and Pacifica women, there was none that looked at Asian, African and Middle Eastern immigrant communities. So that's what started. That's what was the foundations of Shakti when it was set up. So besides servicing women and children, they also had settlement-related services. That's one of the workshops where I where I met that, that gentleman. So over the years, we've kind of grown and we've been recognized now by government departments, nationally and internationally as well, as a specialist, culturally specialist service. In saying that, what we're trying to say is when we say we're culturally specialist, it means that we are very aware of Asian, African and Middle Eastern cultures. And there are commonalities within these cultures in terms of how domestic violence is seen and experienced, you know. So that's what, and also the founding members belong to these communities as well. So that's how we came to be known as a specialist organization for Asian, African and Middle Eastern communities. So when we deliver this service, we also look at what are the cultural factors that are impacting on this issue, impacting on the individuals within the family. And that's when we have discussions with the women on our culture is wonderful, but there are a lot of aspects in our culture that's not okay, like dowry. Dowry is essentially abuse and demeaning of women. There's forced marriage, underage marriages. Underage marriages are particularly predominant, we've seen in some of the Middle Eastern countries. Forced marriage is common everywhere, as you know. Then there's this practice called female genital mutilation, which is, again, FGM, as they call it. That's, again, mostly within the African countries, Egypt, and some of the Far East countries as well. We've seen that happening. Then there's something called honor-based violence, you know, which is there across these cultures. In India, it's based on caste, but in other Middle Eastern nations, it will be based on, you know, the girl children are seen as they are the ones who carry the virtue and honor of the family. So if the girl child goes and dates someone else outside of their culture or decides to study and doesn't want to marry, then that her own family will think that this is a breach of her family honor. So they will take it upon themselves to isolate her, abuse her, force her to marry someone within their own family, etc., etc. So if you look at all these forms of abuse, forced marriage, underage marriage, dowry, honor-based violence, FGM, they're all targeted against the female gender. And this is also part of our culture. So the work at Shakti, and especially my advocacy, has been around this these areas and bringing that out into awareness, wider awareness, and saying it's not okay. This is not okay.
Absolutely, this is not okay. While I was listening to you, Sheila, I learned that Shakti as an organization has grown.
Yes.
Nationally grown, safe houses grown. Does that mean that domestic violence is also is growing?
Yes, I think domestic violence, unfortunately, you know, there's this thing that when women sit around in Shakti, we say, I wish we could all close shop and go home, you know. But then we know that's just an illusion, you know. Because as long as societies exist, cultures exist, and we don't seek to change the way we act and behave, domestic violence will continue, you know. So I wouldn't say there's any decrease in domestic violence, but it is also possible that the higher reporting that we're hearing year after year is because of greater awareness. So more and more women are coming forward. So that could be a possibility as well. But it's very much there. In New Zealand, domestic violence is quite high compared to other OECD countries.
Oh, that's surprising too.
And generally worldwide, it is said 1 in 3 women experience abuse or violence in their lifetime.
ഏതെങ്കിലും ഒരു എത്തനിസിറ്റിക്ക് ഒരു ഒരു ട്രെൻഡ് കണ്ടിട്ടുണ്ടോ ഷീല? ഈ പറയുന്ന പോലെ ഈസ്റ്റേൺ കൾച്ചർ ഉള്ളവരുടെ ഇടയിലാണോ കൂടുതൽ?
I think I wouldn't like to single out any particular ethnicity or ethnic culture, but there are peculiarities to each ethnic group. Like, you know, the Middle Eastern have more, from our experience at Shakti, we've seen more honor-based violence cases in the Middle Eastern culture. From the Indian culture specifically, dowry is huge. Happening here.
So you mean to say that even the dowry issue is happening, even they're coming...
Oh, it continues.
Oh, that's shocking.
Yeah, very shocking cases we've dealt with as well. So that's huge. Forced marriage is also an issue. Then you have the Chinese and Korean and the Japanese. They come with their own issues as well, arising from very strong patriarchal cultures, you know. But all, even us, even our Indian culture is very strongly patriarchal. You know, and while there is good and bad to everything, you know, the patriarchal culture has to be balanced. It has to be balanced out where a woman's voice is heard, you know. And I hope we come to see a society where we don't talk about patriarchal cultures anymore. Yeah, because from where I sit, I see women lie at the centrality of families. Because they're the ones who give birth. They're the nurturers, the caregivers, and the ones who nourish the family, you know? So they are very important. So while we think man is the head of the family and man is the most important person, we always tend to overlook the role of the woman within the family. She's the one who keeps the family together. So if she's not well, emotionally, physically, I would say the entire family is not healthy. So it is very important in our cultures and societies to take care of our women, to make sure they're okay. Because that's one thing for her own health and well-being, which reflects on the health and well-being of the whole family. The other point is the children who are growing up in abusive households, when they're witnessing the abuse that's occurring between their parents, what are they seeing, what are they witnessing, mm-hmm. and what are they experiencing vicariously, if not themselves.
Mm.
It's terrible, because I also work with children. And the impact of children witnessing violence and abuse is huge
mm.
and is intergenerational.
Mm.
So when they see their father abusing their mother, they are very confused.
And they might even think it is okay.
Yes. So because part of the coping mechanism is to normalize it and feel it's okay.
Correct.
Yeah. So we have seen where the second generation have grown up, and we have seen some children, especially the male children, emulating the father's behavior
oh.
and being abusive to his girlfriend, his wife, his mm-hmm. sister, and the girl child role modeling herself on her mother
mm-hmm.
and becoming the victim. Mm-hmm. We have seen that happening as well. So that intergenerational cycle of abuse and violence, that's something we parents need to keep in mind, you know, that mm-hmm. to keep them safe. Because as adults, you have choices
mm.
to stick together in an abusive relationship or walk away.
Yeah.
But children have no choice.
No option. Mm.
So,
yeah. Our background, Sheila, we are seeing abusive behavior from men or women,
mm.
irrespective of who is doing that.
Yeah.
Sheila, endengil oru Sheila's idhuvareulla experience ennu parayan pattuvo? എന്തുകൊണ്ടായിരിക്കാം ഇങ്ങനെ ഒരു മിസ്ബിഹേവിങ് അല്ലെങ്കിൽ ഒരു അബ്യൂസീവ് നേച്ചർ അവർക്ക് ഉണ്ടായിട്ടുള്ളത് അവരുടെ അപ്ബ്രിങ്ങിങ് കൊണ്ടാണോ ഡ്രഗ്സ് ആൽക്കഹോൾ അതാണോ എന്തായിരിക്കാം ഇതിൻ്റെ ഒരു റൂട്ട് കോസ് എന്ന് ശീലിക്ക് തോന്നുന്നു
ഐ തിങ്ക് ദാറ്റ്സ് എ ഗുഡ് ക്വസ്റ്റ്യൻ സിന്ധു ബിക്കോസ് ഇറ്റ്സ് നോട്ട് അബൌട്ട് ബ്ലെയിമിംഗ് ദ പേഴ്സൺ
യാ
ഇറ്റ്സ് അബൌട്ട് ലുക്കിംഗ് അറ്റ് ദ ബിഹേവിയർ ഓഫ് ദ പേഴ്സൺ സോ വി സീ ബിഹേവിയർ We see domestic violence as a behavioral issue. It is a behavioral issue. And those behavioral issues come from lived experiences. Yeah. As a child, what are we seeing? What are we believing? What is our belief system? What are our values? What are we witnessing? Yeah. These are the influences of our lives in our early formative years. And they stay within us and grow. And those lived experiences inform our worldview and how we see the world. Okay? So this kind of starts quite early in life. Yeah? So the differences in cultures as well. Like, for example, I'll give my own experience. So I was married to a man from the north. He's Punjabi. Yeah. So it's my own choice. But I didn't stay for more than 2 years because I noticed the fundamental difference in how we treat women. Because I'm from the south, you know. And I have seen my mother being equal to my father. My mother is a very empowered woman. I think she's got a degree in, she's got a bachelor's degree in economics and literature. And my father was also quite well educated. So I've seen a very equal relationship between them. So when I married this man, and his behavior towards me and the other women was appalling. Which I saw only after marriage. And that was something that didn't sit comfortably with me. And he had alcohol issues as well. So that there was a bit of abuse that happened. And for me, it's not okay. So even though I had no support in New Zealand, I did not know anyone. I still walked away. Because I think as women, it's very important for us to value ourselves, our womanhood. Yeah. When someone raises their hand on you, they're actually kind of touching your fundamental human rights in a way that can actually scar you, not just physically, emotionally. We say in this area of work that domestic violence is not all physical. Yeah. It's a psychological abuse that is almost invisible. We don't see it. Yeah. Only the person who's experiencing it feels it. And psychological abuse can be deeply scarring because it takes a long time to get back your self-esteem, your sense of self-worth, your confidence takes a long time. If you have a physical injury, it heals and you have a scar left behind. It reminds you once in a while. But the emotional injury that you have
stays
for a very long time. You know, it affects your core. It affects your core. And I think in many cases that I've seen, it crushes the spirit of the woman. And that's what domestic violence does. Now, as far as those who perpetrate it, you know, this is kind of learned behavior or inculcated behavior from their own lived experiences and worldviews. So we might say, so-and-so was abusive, to his wife. For the purpose of our interview, I'll use the gendered language. Yeah, because in reality, the maximum cases of police cases of male assaults is male assaults female. So over 90% of cases is male assaults female. So it's predominantly gender. So let's say if a man raises his hand on his wife because he's stressed at work, but does he hit his boss because he's stressed at work? Does he hit his colleagues because he's stressed at work?
No.
Why does he come back and hit his wife? So that's where the concept of ownership is. Yeah. And as long as women are going to be owned by their husbands, you know, so as to say, and feel like their property, domestic violence will continue.
ഷീലെ ഇപ്പോൾ പറയുകയായിരുന്നു, കുറച്ച് നമ്മുടെ അബ്യൂസീവ് ബിഹേവിയർ ഉണ്ടാകുന്നത് ഒരു പക്ഷേ നമ്മൾ കണ്ടുപഠിക്കുന്നതായിരിക്കാം, ഓർ ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ഇൻകൾക്കേറ്റഡ് ഇൻ അവർ സെൽഫ്. പല രീതിയിലാകാം. ഇപ്പോൾ പറയുന്ന പോലെ എൻ്റെ മാതാപിതാക്കൾ അത് ചെയ്താണ് ഞാൻ കണ്ടതെങ്കിൽ നാച്ചുറലി എനിക്കൊരു ഫീലിംഗ് ആണ് ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ഓക്കെ ടു ഡു ദാറ്റ് എന്ന് തോന്നുന്നു. അങ്ങനെ പറയുമ്പോൾ ഞാൻ നമ്മുടെ മലയാളം എഫ് എം റേഡിയോ ആയതുകൊണ്ട് ഞാൻ ചോദിക്കുകയാണ്, നമ്മുടെ ഒരു കൾച്ചർ അനുസരിച്ച് അത് കണ്ട് വളരാനുള്ള ചാൻസസ് ആർ വെരി ലെസ് compared to other states in India. എന്നാണ് ഞാൻ പറയാൻ ഉദ്ദേശിക്കുന്നത്. എന്നിട്ടും എങ്ങനെയാണ് ഇങ്ങനെയൊരു ആറ്റിറ്റ്യൂഡ് നമ്മുടെ പുരുഷന്മാരുടെ ഇടയിൽ കൂടുതലായി കാണുന്നത്? ബിക്കോസ് യു സെഡ് 90% ഇസ് മെയിൽ അബ്യൂസിങ് ഫീമെയിൽ, അതുകൊണ്ട് ഞാൻ ചോദിച്ചതാണ്. സ്റ്റിൽ എന്തായിരിക്കാം നമ്മുടെ കൾച്ചർ ഇത്രയും സ്ട്രോങ് ആണ്, ട്രഡീഷണലി സ്ട്രോങ് ആണ്, റിലീജിയസ് ആണ്, നമ്മൾ ലിറ്ററേറ്റ് ആണ്, ഓൾമോസ്റ്റ് 99% ലിറ്ററേറ്റ് സ്റ്റേറ്റ് ആണ് കേരള, എന്നിട്ടും എന്തുകൊണ്ടായിരിക്കാം?
So this is again, like it is said, that we tend to think that domestic violence happens in poorer communities or in illiterate communities. But our experience at Shakti and has taught us that domestic violence occurs irrespective of education, irrespective of whether you're rich or poor, because it's a behavioral issue. So in our refuge, we've had doctors, surgeons, engineers, PhD holders. And their husbands are equally educated. So it's got nothing to do with education. It's got to do with male privilege. It's got to do with patriarchy. It's got to do with how women are seen in our culture. So that's where the issue is.
നല്ലൊരു പോയിന്റ് ആണ് ഷീല പറഞ്ഞത്. ബിഹേവിയറൽ ഇഷ്യൂ ആണത്. അപ്പൊ ഈ വിക്ടിംസ് എങ്ങനെയാണ് ശക്തിയെ അപ്രോച്ച് ചെയ്യുന്നത്? എങ്ങനെയാണ് അതിന്റെ ഒരു പ്രോസസ്സ്? ന്യൂസിലൻഡിലെ പ്രോസസ്സും ഞാൻ ചോദിക്കുന്നു, ശക്തിയുടെ പ്രോസസ്സും. ഇതൊന്ന് നമ്മുടെ ലിസണേഴ്സിന് വേണ്ടി ഒന്ന് എക്സ്പ്ലെയിൻ ചെയ്യാമോ?
ശക്തി ഡസന്റ് engage in huge publicity, as you might know. And that's for a specific reason, because we believe in doing our work quietly. And if women need us, they will call us. And that's what is happening, actually. So the referrals come from police, hospitals, GPs, CABs, schools.
Primary health organizations.
Primary health organizations. So that's how the referrals come to Shakti. And besides, but the larger percentage that's encouraging for us to know is comes from the women themselves. So they call us and ask how we can support them.
അവര് ശക്തിയെ കുറിച്ച് അറിഞ്ഞ് കോണ്ടാക്ട് ചെയ്യാണ്. ഓക്കെ, വൺസ് ദേ ആർ ഇൻ ഓർ വൺസ് ദേ ആർ ഇൻ യുവർ ഹാൻഡ്സ്, എങ്ങനെയാണ് അവിടെ നിന്ന് കാര്യങ്ങൾ പ്രൊസീഡ് ചെയ്യുന്നത്?
Yes. So firstly, when they call our crisis line, there would be a brief risk assessment done to say how much are they at risk in terms of their well-being, how much are the children at risk, because in New Zealand there's a huge consideration given to the well-being of children. Like we know we have Oranga Tamariki, which used to be called SIFS earlier. They are kind of very, very particular, and that obligation is on agencies like Shakti as well. So they say, while you work with the women, you also have to make sure children are safe in that household. So we have a risk assessment that we do on the phone and a bit of a safety plan. We suggest to the women, this is how you can follow. Now, if a risk is very high, we have a risk analysis within our culture. So risk analysis within the cultural analysis. So if you say the risk is very high, then we would suggest that there are options for you. You can come to the safe house, heal, think about things for a while, get your children. Your children also can come with you. Don't worry about your job. If you're working, don't worry about the children's school. We'll sort all that out with you when you're there. Then you have the option. Firstly, most important thing is to try and sleep, because often women will tell you, I haven't slept for days. Sleep it out, you know, eat food that you want to eat, you know, let the children sleep well.
Emotionally, sherikkum support him.
Yes, yes, huge. So this range of services Shakti offers, which are given as options to the women, because we believe in women's empowerment and women's autonomy.
Mm.
So we will never compel a woman to make choices that she doesn't want to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
We always show the options that are there, and she picks and chooses what she wants, and we help her facilitate the journey.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing we bear in mind is we don't want her to go towards a journey which will end in loss of life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we will talk extensively about that possibility.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually, it's she who makes the decision. Mm-hmm. So the range of services we offer is obviously the crisis pickup.
Mm-hmm.
So we would organize the pickup from her house, she and her children. If her children are coming, you always suggest the women, if the minor children, please get them with you, because you need to look after them as well. So the crisis pickup happens, and once they are within our services, there's a very detailed assessment that we do and an action plan that's developed. What are the requirements? So for example, besides refugee accommodation, does she need legal help? Is she happy to go and see a lawyer to see what her options are in terms of, can she get a protection order? Can she get a parenting order? So that's the next option she has got if she wants to take up. Does she want to go and make a police complaint in a police report? That's also an option that we offer. So we would support her. So if social workers who are well trained in that area who will support the client through that process.
Specialized
So we have social workers who do all the casework. This is all called casework. Then there's the counselors, which I'm involved with as well. So we have the counseling team. Then we look at the emotional well-being. So they look at the other settlement-related well-being issues once they leave the relationship. Then we have, of course, lawyers that we work with as well and who are aware of our cultures.
There is a financial implication to that.
I think most of the women who come to us would be eligible for legal aid. There's something called legal aid.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So if your income, if your individual income is below a certain threshold, you can get legal aid. So we also have a good set of lawyers who are very kind, you know, and many of them do pro bono as well. So we have that. Just like counseling, almost all our work is done pro bono. We don't charge anything to the client because we believe that's a service that we have to offer for emotional healing and well-being. So besides that, and when the woman has gone through all that process, then we also do the assessment of what would be her needs if she decides to go away and be independent. Like, does she want to take English language classes? Does she want to take driving classes? Does she have and what was she doing back home? And are some of those skills transferable? What can she be trained in? So we have a life skills program which actually Farida heads as well. So so then she goes through that life skills program. So by the end of the services that we offer, she comes out safe, confident, empowered, and self-reliant.
നിങ്ങൾ ഇതുവരെ മലയാളം എഫ് എമ്മിൽ കേട്ടത് ശക്തി ന്യൂസിലൻഡിൽ കൗൺസിലറും സർട്ടിഫൈഡ് പ്രാക്ടീസിംഗ് കൗൺസിലറുമായ ഷീല നായരുമായുള്ള അഭിമുഖത്തിന്റെ ഒന്നാം ഭാഗമായിരുന്നു. ഈ അഭിമുഖത്തിന്റെ രണ്ടാം ഭാഗം അടുത്ത ഞായറാഴ്ച 12:25 നിങ്ങളുടെ മലയാളം എഫ് എമ്മിൽ കേൾക്കാം. മലയാളം എഫ് എം എന്ന ഇന്നത്തെ സംപ്രേക്ഷണം ഇവിടെ അവസാനിക്കുന്നു. അടുത്ത സംപ്രേക്ഷണം അടുത്ത വെള്ളിയാഴ്ച രാത്രി 7:25 യവനികയോടുകൂടി ആരംഭിക്കും. അതുവരേക്കും നന്ദി, നമസ്കാരം. സിന്ധു പുന്നോസ്. മലയാളം എഫ് എം 104.6. പാട്ടുപാടാം, കൂട്ടുകൂടാം, കാറിലും കേൾക്കാം. ശ്രീലകം കേരളം തിങ്ങും പാവന ശ്രീലകം കേരളം.